Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 381. We are back after a week off due to my not being able to talk. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I can always talk about this anything. True.
About anything, sometimes beer, sometimes games, sometimes football, some politics.
Mostly those things.
Yeah, you talk about you have a very large, you know, contingents of stuff to talk about. History.
That's right.
Jeff is here as well.
Same. I don't know if you want to hear me talk, but I will talk.
I love it when you talk, Jeff.
Thank you.
Especially when you talk dirty.
Well, I don't know if we want to do this on air.
I mean, we are not a family podcast. We never have.
I think we can keep this for everyone to hear.
If you want to see me talk dirty, go back to Twitter 2011. Go back to Twitter 2011 anytime after midnight. I would just call I was talking about.
Well, that's what the Tiny Chat was for, right?
Jeff will never be running for office, by the way.
Wasn't that what Tiny Chat was all about?
Yeah, Tiny Chat was
Tiny Chat was just a good time.
That was a time and place.
Yeah. And Pete is here as well.
I just talk and talk and talk and never shut the fuck up.
Our lovely Fozzie may join us. We don't know. We never know anymore what happens with him. So
he didn't even respond to the email. So
we do have quite a bit to talk about. A lot has happened over the last 2 weeks. And we're going to kick it off with some Star Wars Battlefront 2 news.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys this the story of three acts. And it begins about 4 days ago when I don't know the exact timing, but basically the game hits EA Early Access.
That's last Thursday, I think.
Yeah, last Thursday it hit EA Access.
Okay. I was confused between that and the collector's edition, which allows you to play early, and which one was which?
Yeah, Tuesday was the collector's edition.
Okay, so that hits, and it's 10-hour preview. You get the first three missions, and then like you can just play multiplayer for however long you want.
It's like 10 hours.
10 hours,
yeah. Right? I mean, of those that 10 hours, it's three missions, and then all the multiplayer stuff.
All multiplayer, yeah.
And so naturally, as we have been building towards this sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, explosion, implosion, whatever, you know, all of the microtransaction stuff. Everybody was terrified of what it would look like. It didn't,
like, I warned y'all.
And so basically it seemed like everyone's fears were confirmed, that it was just this disastrous, like, grind, and things were overpriced, and that you'd have, like, people were doing a lot of napkin math, which is unfortunate because I think the hyperbole blew the situation greatly out of proportion. Like, people were like, it'll take you 40 hours
to unlock Darth Vader.
Assuming, and then there are like a bunch of asterisks because the guy's like, I didn't include daily challenges and special challenges that you can also, like, complete. And it's like, okay, well,
because also, and I mean, yes, there is certainly some hyperbole there, but like, if you were just working towards Darth Vader, then maybe that 40 hours isn't correct because you would get the daily challenges and stuff. But if you're buying other loot packs and stuff, like, to upgrade your main character as opposed to just saving to get a hero, it was probably going to take you quite a long time, maybe 40 hours or so to get Darth Vader.
Right.
He was 60,000.
Okay. He was 80,000.
As someone who, like, does not know, like, I didn't play the first one, I don't understand what the fuck's going on.
This is a completely different upgrade system, so it doesn't matter.
Is he, like, a permanent unlock, or is he, like, a thing you would get in the match, like,
so,
to help you out?
So the way that heroes work is that if you score enough points, then you can spawn as a hero as long as there isn't another one already in play. Yeah,
so it's basically like a, you know, let's say like a kill streak reward or you know, point streak reward in a Call of Duty, but it's like a high level one that you unlock on your profile, and but you can only have, as Pete said, only have one out at a time. So there can only be one Darth Vader on the map, only one Luke Skywalker on the map.
But you could reuse him, like, if you're on a map, no one's him. You could like turn into him or whatever. Like,
yes, and you've like hit the point total or whatever during the match that you need to get. Yes.
Yeah. So. And the heroes are like just special characters where it's like hey, like they're just overpowered characters. Like, they're meant to just be, like, exciting like that and stuff.
Yeah, so, like, in the first, I'm not played with any of the heroes in the second one because I haven't played the second one, but in the first one, like, there were tokens on the map, and you would pick up the token and you would, like, morph into Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker or something. And, they have, like, triple or quadruple health, and they have, you know, special force powers, or their weaponry is extra strong, or, like, Vader has a lightsaber and he can force choke people, and he could take on multiple people at one time. So he's, like, really kind of like a giant wrecking ball.
And so, yeah, everybody freaks out. Reddit, you know, fucking implodes, as Reddit always does, and shit like that. And then EA goes, all right, that's Act 1. All that nonsense, all of the articles being written about, oh, it takes 40 hours to do this and blah, 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 that. And then, you know, everybody's running their, you know, their streams and, oh, yeah, you know, things are this and things are that. Act 2 opens with EA saying that they will... or Act 1, rather, ends with EA's social manager, support staff, somebody on under their account answering a question on Reddit where they explain that the reason that the credits were so high were to give players a sense of pride and accomplishment when unlocking them, which is hilarious when you can just, you know, buy them and then just say, fuck it, right?
I have a friend at work who keeps asking me if my work is giving me a sense of pride and accomplishment. He keeps bringing this thing up, the pride and accomplishment thing. Everything that was about pride and accomplishment.
That's funny.
Obvious, great point, Pete. Like, if that's the point of it, don't do transactions. Like, just make it, you have to earn it. That's it. Like, what the fuck?
So I don't, like, could you just flat out buy currency to buy Darth Vader?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Like $80.
Oh.
Was it? Okay. I wasn't sure what the exchange rate was, but there are two currencies. One is credits, which are earned in the game, and then there are crystals, which are paid for. And I'm not sure how many crystals it took to buy Darth Vader.
Whatever it was, seems like it was like $80.
Yeah, if you had EA access, it was $80.
Oh, so that's 10% off. So
yeah,
about almost $90.
Yeah.
Fuck. And apparently, which a lot of people loved to write about, that comment that EA posted is now the most downvoted comment in Reddit history by
it's over 700,000.
Fucking wide
Holy
margin.
Shit.
Hold on. I'm gonna give you the top five real quick.
it's to compare how stupid
this is. Just to tell you, okay. So top five. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, so number five is the admin of Reddit was caught editing comments in the Donald Trump subreddit.
Oh Lord.
I guess. I don't fucking know. That's number that, and the score is -11,537.
Only 11,000?
That's that one. And then you get to number four, which is by Jill Stein for some AMA she was doing, which Jill Stein and Reddit are just like, whew.
She also says really dumb things sometimes.
No doubt, but I mean, like, trust me, I agree. I'm just saying that, like, of all the people to be like, let's get the Reddit vote, that's only 400 more points negative than the one right before it. There's a comment in League of Legends from a Riot lead that says, the note here says, somehow never the most downvoted comment. I don't know what the context is. It's only 19,292 points in the negative. The second one with 24,333 points is just a dude who said, I want to be the most downvoted post ever.
So two of them is people like asking to get downvoted.
And then in first place is the Star Wars Battlefront comment with six 680,490 points in the negative.
So nothing else is even close.
No, it's literally hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
It's dumb and amazing. Reddit is stupid. But so that's how Act 1 ends. Act 2 begins with EA coming out being like, we've heard your feedback, and we will reduce the number of credits it takes by 75%. So Darth Vader drops from 80,000 to 20,000. The issue is that they also dropped then the amount of credits you earned by 75%.
Wait, they did? I missed that part.
Yes, that's why that didn't settle anybody's... That just made them angry again.
Same.
Yes, it was just like... Because I guess when you beat the campaign, you were supposed to earn 20,000 credits.
Okay, but
you earned 5,000 credits.
Yes, but did they drop it 75% across the board? Like, was
I think they... That's what I heard, but again...
You were earning...
Yeah, like, I only heard the single player thing, yeah, like, which is bad enough.
Yeah, you were earning about 500 or so per match, and if they drop that to like 100,
I thought, didn't Jeff on Bombcast say he was earning like 50 or something?
I don't remember exactly. I heard it.
Yeah, I can't remember what he said. But
whatever.
Everybody that I know that it was playing, it was earning about 500 per match or so. So
yeah,
it's going to take you quite some time to build up.
So that got everybody really pissed off.
Because like that's such a dishonest, like. All right, if you like saying we're balancing this for you, like we're gonna lower the price, but it's like you didn't change anything. You're just adjusting the scale on all sides so that
right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like it's so fucking slimy.
And now Act Two is where I'm going to introduce our B story of the movie, where, and Tony and I were talking about this before.
I love this story.
Here it is. There was this dude on Twitter. Who put out this tweet that like fucking lit the internet on fire that says, so I'm up to 7 death threats and over 1600 individual personal attacks. This and yes, for legal reasons, I'm keeping track. And why you might ask? Because I'm an unpopular feature in a video game. This dude's Twitter account is Big Sean, big with 2 G's, 66.
And this and he really claims, like,
and he, and he's an, he has a game dev at EA. He wrote, game dev at EA in his Twitter profile wrote that he had received death threats from angry Star Wars Battlefront fans. His story was covered by news outlets like USA Today, the BBC, and Yahoo. Vice wrote an editorial about it. He's talking about Waypoint. CNNBC ran a headline about it, and the tweet was retweeted by hundreds of thousands. The issue is that this dude doesn't actually fucking work for EA. this guy, he spent 4 years just like catfishing the fuck out of everybody, like, and he like messes up his story sometimes, where like,
yeah.
Which is funny. Like Jason Schreier, who up like this dude, man, he puts in the fucking work. Like, you want to talk about games journalists? It's like him and Patrick Klepek and about nobody else.
He's like an actual reporter. Yeah.
Yes.
Like investigative reporter.
Exactly. Where is the tweet where he says? Like, there's like there's one where they put it side by side, and he's like, oh, right, here it is. So July 2015, he tweets, I can't take time off. I just started at EA a few months ago. Can't take time off until November. November 2017 says, congratulations, I'm about to hit my 4th year at EA. Okay.
Somebody's math is off.
Yep. Let's see.
Better, dude.
This dude has like no online presence at all. He then like says something that his like he was really careful to not mention what his job was until there's like one tweet in 2016 that says he was a QA analyst. Let's see. Mm-hmm. And then Jason Schreier contacts him using the Kotaku Twitter account. And yeah, basically, like by the end of the story, as I had read it, Jason Schreier contacted him and was like, dude, you don't fucking work at EA. Like, why are you being like this? And then he immediately stopped responding to any of his questions. He deleted his information on Twitter.
I can't find you. You don't exist.
He locked his profile. He removed all EA mentions. Now, apparently, as of today, 6:30, there's an update, which I will read live.
Ooh. No, but there's an update.
It says, let's say, in the day following the story received, reactions and information, blah, 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 blah. There are two developments worth noting. The first was that Big Sean 66 had a different social media page where he posted a few photos that appeared to be taken from inside EA's office in late 2015 and early 2016. Problem was, three of these photos had been posted on Visceral's Twitter feed before Big Sean had posted them, so he just copy and pasted them. The second development is that several EA employees confirmed to me that there is no employee in the database matching Big Sean's full name, which an acquaintance of his shared with me, and which, as I later found, he had tweeted to a few of his followers. So, yeah, this dude, like,
it's not real. It's amazing. And, like, the thing I love about that story most of all is that was the first tweet I saw that day. Like, that kind of set the tone for the whole day about, like, oh, Battlefront is getting, like, their people are getting death threats and this and that. And I saw that tweet, and I completely accepted that it was real.
I think the problem with that is, like, it's easily 100% believable that that happened.
And, but, like, I like to think that I'm, like, savvy and I'm, like, good at deciphering, like, what's real and that. Yeah, I totally bought it. Hook, line, sinker, didn't question it. And credit to Schreier for fucking, like,
running it down, right? Yeah.
Like, follow up. Like, let's follow this guy.
And I don't know why this guy created a whole fantasy life where he was a QA analyst at EA.
Who knows? It's people are fucking.
Yeah,
bored.
People do this kind of dumb.
I don't know how many. I'm trying to see on his follow. It doesn't say how many. I hit about 5,000 followers.
Yeah, which isn't like that. That's not enough for the absurdity of this whole thing.
Right. Like, I mean, unfortunately,
that's a believable amount for someone who works at a company like that. Like, you know, someone who's not like a big public figure.
Sure.
That seems believable. Like,
right. And I mean, at the same time, like, I'm glad that in some way, like, he was bringing, like, attention to the issue that, like, this does fucking happen to developers because people lose their goddamn minds. You know, in Vice's editorial, you know, one of the things that Patrick references is that, he said that, there was like a remark from somebody on Twitter that just says, like, I understand that developers had, like, that it wasn't their fault or whatever, but I'm just, here it is. I feel sorry for all the amazing devs that put all hard work into making the game as good as they can only to see it ruined by EA, but I am too disgusted and outraged to think about them. What?
Yeah, they don't matter as people because I'm angry about microtransactions.
Right, in a fucking video game.
Yeah, it's like something you don't have to buy if you don't want to.
Right.
Right, and it's
you
so...
You just not buy it. That's completely an option for people who are insane.
So that's our B story. And Act 2 ends with reviews coming out. Reviews are not amazing. From anywhere that you would trust.
A lot of them, though, the ones I've read, like Game Informer, they're like, game's great, 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 microtransactions, 6.5 out of 5.
And well, as a fundamental flaw, though, as like a crippling flaw. Like,
you don't know that kind of stuff is a fundamental flaw until you see how they operate, like, in the actual, like, how are people using this, what's actually happening.
Yeah, is it actually allowing people to buy their way to being more powerful than you, like, and if that was
the answer is yes. Like, there's an article on Kotaku, I think, that's like, here's what $100 gets you, and like,
well, yeah, but that's what it can get you. But are people actually doing that? Like, is it actually fundamentally affecting the gameplay? And we have no idea.
No.
Well, if it's there, people will be doing it. Like,
but I think like the idea that it can, because of course there are going to be some people who just do, right? I mean, whether it's people who are frustrated or just like rich people who don't give a shit,
if there's like, you know, 20 of those guys, like, it doesn't matter.
But you know? Where I was kind of going to was what I got out of what Gerstmann was saying was that progress in the game was tied to loot boxes, so it wasn't like which is not fixed by removing microtransactions. If it's everything is a fucking, like, a jack-in-the-box thing where you open a box, you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm fucking getting. I could see that being annoying, too, if I'm trying to make progress with a character or something. Like,
sure.
I don't know.
I do think that's a legit criticism against it. Like, hey, like, the progression system is just flat-out broken. A lot of the reviews, though, I'm reading is, like, this is – it's not that it's broken. It's that, like, this can be manipulated. This can be done this way. And it's like, well, we don't know if it is, though. It could be. But is it? Because like, you can buy shit in Battlefield. Like,
yeah,
buy progression unlocks. Like, this isn't something that's new in these games.
For sure. And I wonder if the issue is, like, in Battlefield, like, is it easy? It's still easy enough to progress on your own, right?
But, I mean, like, you could legit, like, give them $15 in Battlefield 4, and it would unlock every weapon for a class.
Sure, but, I mean,
so
I don't know. But, see, I think the difference there is, like, yes, the weapons are better, but they're not, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a difference between that and then getting something that's, like, in Battlefront, your health recharges faster, or you can move faster, or you deal more damage, like, bar none, whatever weapon you're using, or things like that, you know?
This is kind of why I bought it. It's like, you end up in this conversation, you're like, you want to know what the actual effect is, and we're kind of just, you know, conjecturing.
Yeah, we don't
know for sure. And I mean, the idea that the
Yes.
I'm in the middle of having a stroke. I don't remember what I was saying.
Oh no.
The issue is just the possibility, right? Like that it could greatly imbalance the game, or that the game is just driven.
Sure.
Like, and it's built in such a way that to make you want, or to like, in order to have any fun, you would have to spend money in order to get to a point where like the game is worth playing.
Right, but again, you never know that kind of stuff until the game actually starts.
To be live for a while. Like, what? Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to repeat something I've said before on the show. The shape that you put something in affects what that thing is at some point. And this seems like to be like an extreme example of that.
Oh, sure.
We have not played it yet, but it's like at some point, dude. It becomes the core, it becomes like the problem, or it just becomes what it is. Like, so if you design a game that you're supposed to pump money into all the time, that's going to affect what the game is. Like, you have, I mean, by design, that's what it is. Like, so this is just them going, fuck you, we're going to do it. Although, we haven't gotten to the last part of the story yet, have we?
Act three happened not more than.
Had to be a couple hours.
Hours ago. Like, it was kind of amazing how I got out of the shower after work and saw people posting that there are rumors that EA is going to pull an Xbox One on this Battlefront thing. And for those who might not remember, that the Xbox One is referring to how a couple of months from launch, maybe only a month from launch, Xbox backed out of their whole, like, online-only thing, like, can't, you know, no use games, can't share games kind of thing. Because either Matrick jumped ship or they fired him. I can't remember which. And they were like, we got to steer this ship in a way that makes people want to buy our console. And so, like, yeah, literally hours before launch, EA has temporarily pulled the microtransactions from Battlefront 2.
Ooh.
So according to Oscar Gabrielson, general manager of developer DICE, says, we hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases. This means the option to purchase crystals in the game is now offline, and all progression will be earned through gameplay. The ability to purchase crystals in game will become available at a later date, but only after we've made changes to the game. We'll share more details as we work through this. So there is no other details other than that. But for now, it seems like, you know, everybody's freaking out that, like, oh, hey, you know, oh, they said they're going to put them back in at some point and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, and putting them back in is not a bad thing if it's done correctly. Like, right. If you can easily earn Darth Vader, but you just don't want to spend the time to do it, like, sure, buy Darth Vader for $5 or something like that. Have at it.
What I also think, like, some of this might be, it's just total shit communication on EA's part because, like, you don't get to play as Darth Vader the entire game.
Right.
Like, that's something that I think is... We did touch on it, but, like, you know, yes, that's something that was unlocked from the get-go in the original Battlefront. And I do think, like, the fact that, you know, you have to spend all this time to get all these credits to unlock something that is like a temporary power-up, basically, in the game is ridiculous. But
now, to be fair, I do think there are hero-only modes where like this stuff might be more applicable, where like you only play as the hero, so having them is more fun as opposed to like the main game.
But I don't even know how that stuff works. Like, can you play those at all if you haven't unlocked any heroes? Because
I think...
Do you have a hero unlocked from the get-go?
Yeah, like, I think there are like some real shitty or boring characters that are at the beginning. Because I think it's Darth Maul and... I don't know who the other hero on like the good guy's side is. But yeah, there's because you need to have one in order to play multiplayer. So they give you one up front.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our act three movie about, you know, the cliffhanger now is where do the microtransactions go from here?
They did not say they're going away forever.
Yep. No, well, I think
this is one of the funny things that they said on their AMA was that they're still looking at skins for the characters. So my guess is the microtransactions come through something close to what you end up with in Overwatch. Where you can get skins, but it doesn't actually affect gameplay. Yeah, and that would be that's optimal. How it is. I think that's what people want.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, no, you're for sure. Do it. Or if you want to sell the heroes, like that, like sell them, like, you know, like Riot in League of Legends, they sell their champions and stuff. Like, but you sell them at a price where, like, A, it's not $90. And like they're still achievable with a little bit of work. Yeah, it might take you 10 hours. Not 10 hours, or like 5 hours of play to unlock
40.
Darth Vader, but like, you know, and at the same time you're progressing and unlocking other things and stuff with the ultimate goal being that hero, and like it becomes a more enjoyable experience overall.
I also don't mean to complicate things like unnecessarily, but it like they should definitely separate like regular progression unlock currency from hero currency. Like, so you should be earning currency that you can buy heroes with, and you should be earning currency that like you'll get your cards, your weapon upgrades and stuff like that from the loot boxes. I think like instead of like, because hey, you're playing a game for most of the time, if you're playing like, I think it's like Galactic Strike or something like that, is like their big kind of
conquest.
Yeah, it's like their conquest type mode. You want to upgrade your character that you're going to be playing most of the time, because you're not going to play as Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker most of the time. Like, you're only going to get to use them occasionally. So why would you want to spend, you know, your 80,000 credits on Darth Vader instead of, like, you know, whatever the 3,000, 4,000 credits you need to get a regular progression box? So I think if they could separate it out, like hero currency and loot box currency, like for regular progression, that might help some as well.
Yeah. Oh,
what the fuck do I know?
No, and the ironic thing is that like none of this still helps the fact that the campaign is garbage.
I mean, is it?
Yes.
That's not what I've heard. I've heard the story is garbage, but the campaign is actually fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay. Maybe all right. That's what I meant. But well, I don't know. I've also heard that the AI in the campaign is really bad. Like that, you can just run into the middle of a firefight and the stormtroopers will stop firing at you, and like you can hear shots in the background.
It's okay. Like, it's all power fantasy
and stuff. And it's just like, hey, yeah, it looks amazing. Everyone agrees that the graphic fidelity is amazing, and it's
that's
and it sounds.
That's actually why I'm in.
Yeah. Can I play this game in 4K and blow shit up in the Millennium Falcon?
I assume so.
Yes. Yeah, doesn't it have like a space battle mode?
Yeah, there's
and that's the one multiplayer mode I've heard good things about, like kind of no matter what.
I think that's the one I will probably play the most of. So
fuck yeah, dude! Like I don't know, like,
but
I'm probably not getting it. But like it might be a 6 or 7 game. That's not always a bad thing, right?
Right.
Like,
no,
a fucking game could be a 7, dude. It's all
right.
Like,
right. And I think the biggest problem with the campaign, from what I've heard, is that it just, I don't, you know, to take Jeff Gerstmann's words out of its mouth, it plays and reads and sounds like bad forum fan fiction. Like, and I personally, like, don't think that's so much the writer's fault as it might be EA being like, you need to have missions where players can play as these characters so they want to buy these characters later.
That could happen.
Because they say about, like, you play as Eden Verso, I think is her the character's last name, and the Inferno Squad story basically for, like, is the campaign's like 4 hours, and 2 hours in, it just then becomes a series of these weird side missions with, like, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Lando Calrissian, and Princess Leia, and, like, that have, like, vague connections to the rest of the story. And then it just ends, because apparently it hits a point where, from what I've heard, like, the actual end of the story is behind the Last Jedi DLC, which can't come out until after the movie, because it's tied into the movie's plot.
Come on, bro.
So the ending to the game has to wait for, and is that free DLC? Because there's no season pass, right?
Yeah, no, it's I think it's free.
Yeah,
is it like is. Actual gameplay, or is it just like you'll get a cutscene?
Yes, yeah, so it's free 15? Last DLC, or free DLC, and it comes 13th of December, which is 2 days before the movie comes out.
Okay. Well, that's something. So Battlefront 2, I actually, it's loaded on my Xbox. I just
me too. I pre-ordered it. I'm waiting for my copy to come in.
This sounds like my dad was like, I really want to play it, but it won't come in until Tuesday. I was like, it may be a very bad, it might be a much better game by Tuesday. Who knows at this point?
Yeah, right? Distinctly possible.
Maybe it'll be free to play by Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, man, if they just, like, if they refunded everybody their $60 and just said, fucking play this game, like, that would go.
I would play it then.
I would, because, I mean, this sounded like a game I wanted to play the campaign for. And I was like, I'll wait until it's $30. And
yeah, that's what I was thinking, Pete.
Well, so. What's our next sad story in games?
So well, let's keep it on the EA track real quick, which is that EA bought Respawn for $400 million. The exact amount is $455 million. A number that includes cash, equity, and performance milestone payments. And apparently this was brought out by South Korean publisher Nexon, which published the Titanfall mobile game, like, making an offer. And so EA went in and then it, like, created this bidding war and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not huge into Titanfall and stuff, but they are making a Star Wars game that I'm very curious about.
Yeah, and evidently this does include Titanfall 3, so they will be doing that, I guess.
Right, and so like I know that people are hoping that now that EA owns this, they'll actually put more stock into Titanfall as a franchise and maybe not release it right after Battlefield.
And not really care. I feel like they did advertise it a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, but even if that game was still sent out to die in the middle of
Battlefield. They put it against their own game, so...
But, I mean, yeah, that was, for some reason, I was under the impression that they were owned by EA. I forgot that it was, like, a more third-party.
Yeah, they were the final EA partners team. Like, they were partnered with EA, but they were not owned by them. They were an independent studio.
And I wonder, what brought this on, right? Because, like, obviously, the whole Visceral thing just happened. And then they were like, shit, man, let's just, we dropped one studio. Let's pick up another, I guess.
What I don't understand, and it's because I don't understand business. I'm just an idiot beyond. But, like, didn't, like, the guys at Respawn form that company because, like, they wanted to do, like, their own independent, like, awesome company?
No, they formed that company because Activision refused to pay them.
Yeah, it was some sort of financial dispute, and now they're cashing in.
But they're like, we're doing our own thing, right? And then,
Right, whatever. But now EA is like, I'm going to give each of you millions of dollars.
Right, and I bet, BioWare, this includes a two to three year, contract where they're supposed to do it, and they can't leave the company, and the second that expires, they're going to go off and do something else because they have millions of dollars to go do whatever they want now. They just have to bite the bullet through Titanfall.
So, like, if they did not want EA to buy them, they could say no.
Yeah.
They could have.
Their company.
I mean, we don't know what their financial situation was, right?
Right. Maybe they're better off being owned by somebody. Yeah.
I mean, if a company is willing to pay $400 million for my shit, I mean, that's hard to say no. That's a lot of financial security.
Which what is really funny about this, though, is Wes and Zampella, who are the guys for Respawn, they started out at EA making the Medal of Honor games.
They're coming back to EA now.
Yeah, and then they left to go to Activision.
What they should
they created Infinity Ward, and then they've left, and they are now back with EA under Respawn. Dude. They are going to leave again.
And they're going to go to like Ubisoft or something, and they're going to make Rainbow Siege, Rainbow Six games.
I bet they're back at Activision.
That would be fucking hilarious, but I mean, the Activision would have to pony, like, I still think that they're going to be real sore over that, and I would too if I made a game that changed the fucking landscape and then you refused to pay me for it.
I just had a brief glimpse of them working on a new Medal of Honor, but that would be pretty cool. But anyways.
Yeah. I think the problem with Medal of Honor is that like EA finally realized that there was no reason for them to have two Modern Warfare shooters. And like, why split the player base when they can just have one?
What I'd like to see them do is Battlefield 1 actually had a decent campaign.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to see them do is return Medal of Honor to a, like, you know, do what Machine Games did with Wolfenstein. Like, create a story-driven campaign for Medal of Honor. Like, go do historical battles, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let them play in that field. I know that they are very, like, Weston and Impella are great at, like, their studios are great at making multiplayer, but, I mean, EA already has that on lock with DICE and Battlefield, so.
Yeah,
like, do what Wolfenstein is doing, but do it about real history. Like, that's because Medal of Honor was always about reverence. Like, remember those old games, you're like, oh my god, like, it was, like, so serious, like.
Right.
Do that, but tell us like a good narrative in it that's not alternate history and not like jokey. Just do a good drama, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Excuse me. So that one was that's all of our EA news.
I will say this about them. I mean we're not privy to how this played out. Evidently Nexon made like a deal to, you know, they were trying to buy them. I would have liked to see Microsoft swoop in and.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You know what? I forgot that. Hold on. That's a good segue.
To me, it would have made, like, they need to bolster their first party stuff
a little bit.
And if they could, because Respawn owns the Titanfall brand. And I think that would have been great. Like, bring Titanfall back to Xbox as an exclusive and let Microsoft throw money behind it. But EA got there first, so.
Right. And so, well, okay. Thank you for bringing that up. That was the one story I forgot. I forgot what Phil Spencer's name was for a moment. Woo. I thought it was Phil Spector. And so I typed that in and I was like, why?
Oh, no. Phil Spector's somebody else.
Don't he is. No, it's a little late for that. So yeah, I guess he made waves about a week and a half ago because he was on Bloomberg and they were like, "What are you guys doing?" And stuff. You got the Xbox One X and shit, and you know, all right, what's next? And then he was like, "You know, we've been kind of lacking in the first party department. Maybe we should acquire some stuff."
Yeah.
You know, it says we haven't always invested at the same level. We've gone through ups and downs in investment. Yeah, no shit. This interview was interesting because it measured he spoke pretty frankly about a lot of things and how, like, maybe Microsoft's future isn't necessarily always in hardware. And that they were talking about some sort of streaming service that they're looking at and that they're no longer looking at, let's see, what is it? The Redmond, Washington-based company is also changing how it measures success in the Xbox business away from console revenue, unit shipments towards closely watching the sales of games, subscriptions, and related services, not just on Xbox machines, but on phones and personal computers. And so, you know, then they're looking at opportunities such as further expansion of Xbox Live, esports, and game streaming.
Buzzwords.
A lot, yes, for sure. But, you know, this brought up an interesting discussion of, you know, kind of the future of the Xbox and stuff like that. And, like, okay, like the Xbox One X is kind of like this weird flashpoint moment of like, if it fails spectacularly or succeeds spectacularly, like Microsoft could go in two very different directions, right?
I don't know if I agree with that premise. It's just another addition. It's just like the PS4 Pro. Like
I think Microsoft is banking on it more than the PS4 Pro.
Maybe a little bit, but one of them is going to be selling no matter what. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't see them getting out of the hardware business, dude. Like, they don't seem to really care. They're like, we'll put out PC, we'll put out a fucking console. You can buy whatever you want and whatever you want. And
I don't know, but I mean, they gave up on phones.
They did give up.
Yes. Because they're getting pummeled.
Phones were they had less than 1% share.
Sure. I mean, Windows phones were abysmal. But, and I mean, they almost gave up on tablets. Surface barely scraped by to now becoming what it is. But I mean, there was a time when you were just like, you looked at the Surface and was like, I'd rather just like use pen and paper. You know, and what is he saying? Like, while they aren't like necessarily looking into publishing games on other consoles, like they look at Minecraft as a potential model for the future. Of just like, hey, we have Minecraft on every console, including PlayStation and Nintendo and stuff like that. And like maybe that, you know, and it's making them so much money that way. And so, you know, maybe there's a point in the industry where they decide to go back to third party and they make a lot of money just putting their games anywhere.
I'll be honest. I hope they don't, because I think that they make some of the best hardware. Like, I know that their specs are not as good as what Sony does always, but like Sony's, every Sony system I buy fucks up on me, dude. Like, and Xbox is not.
So which is ironic, but.
Well, let's, I think we're kind of out there at the moment.
And oh, no,
I think,
absolutely.
Jeff just brought up an interesting point about specs on a system always being less than Sony's, but there's a system out right now that is the most powerful console ever made that Microsoft made.
And I'm just wondering, like.
And I think that's a nice segue.
Will that matter? Maybe?
Well, yeah, anyways.
Well, we don't know, but we can talk about it.
What that is, yeah, because two of us have one. So
I think you're the only two on here who will. I don't think Foz is getting one.
But I'm not saying I would get one or
Well, let's talk about it and see if some of you others might want to get one.
No. Nope.
Sure. Why are you rejecting it? We haven't even said anything.
Because I just – like the console as a concept, just like the PlayStation Pro – not to like that way nobody thinks I'm
okay. All right, let us talk. Let us talk. Because you're out there and you're just kind of saying stuff right now. But I'm actually playing on mine right now, enjoying.
How dare you?
That is the Xbox One X. And actually, I was really impressed. Like, I was worried like a couple weeks ago, like if I had wasted $500 on the system, that wasn't going to be all that much of an upgrade, and I wasn't going to notice. And of course, the first time I turn it on, I am wowed. Like, this was the jump that you got from Xbox to Xbox 360 that we didn't get in the last transition. Looks awesome. I am telling you right now, the increase in fidelity from HD to 4K is worth it. Like, it is absolutely stunning. In every game I played so far, even the games that I've had that haven't had the what do they call it, the Xbox One X enhancement. My son was playing Minecraft, which is not yet enhanced. That thing looks awesome. I can't believe how those stupid little blocks actually looked so blurry before, and now they look so clear and.
Is that like what? Could that just be your TV? Like, have you played Minecraft on that TV?
This is the same TV I've been playing games on forever. I've had this TV for what, 18 months now, okay. But I've never been able to play games in 4K before. And now suddenly I can, and it is totally, totally worth it.
Yeah, because the system does, whether it's been enhanced or not, it does upscale everything to 4K.
So I need to buy a new TV and a new
car. No.
If you don't have a 4K TV, I can't tell you if it's worth it or not. I can say that if you do have a 4K TV, you should absolutely, absolutely, absolutely upgrade.
I bought a TV a year ago, and it was not a 4K.
So
it's also probably like $6,000 to buy a 4K TV a year ago.
No,
I
could have bought $600? One.
I thought the prices only dropped this year.
$50. I could have got one same size and everything, $50 more. And I was like, 4K.
It was only $50 more for 4K.
Yes. I was like, 4K is bullshit.
You could have future proofed yourself.
I didn't think it was bullshit, the future. But... I was like, whatever.
Well, it's only bullshit in the sense that the next thing will be right around the corner.
Right, and I'm sure 8K is already on its way, or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, 8K. They have it in theaters already.
Our kids are going to be saying, "I remember when I was a kid, we had shit in fucking shitty 4K."
Right. It'd be like 64K at that point.
How do people watch anything in 1080p?
God,
let alone standard definition.
I still think that, to be honest. Anytime I see black bars on the sides of a television show, my mom's watching. Mom, we pay for this for the good stuff.
Yeah.
I will say this about it, whether or not you have a 4K TV, the Xbox One X will hit 1080p consistently. And for a lot of those games, like the ones that get enhanced, will have like performance mode, which I do believe the Pro also does.
Yeah, like the boost mode type stuff.
Yeah, it'll make everything hit 1080 plus 60 frames a second. And there's some games I haven't actually. Gears has a toggle that you can flip. There's performance or visual mode, and in visual mode, it's like 30 frames in 4K or 60 frames at the resolution's not, it's above 1080p, but it's not at, like, it's not at 4K. It's like,
24 or something.
Yeah. It's like rendering somewhere in between and then upscaling to 4K. So it still looks better than it did, on the base Xbox. And I think Gears 4 looked good regardless. But it does look better either way. But now it can look better and play better. Or look really better.
Oh, it looks so good.
And like Tony, you've been playing Assassin's Creed, so that's one that looks amazing.
The most attractive game I have ever played in my entire life.
The most attractive?
I didn't hear what you said. Visually attractive. Okay.
No, I didn't hear what you said. All right.
The other thing is, so I had played a little bit of Assassin's Creed before. I had the Xbox X. I played it on like a couple weeks ago. And there was a loading screen before. So you have your stupid eagle that you can control while it's flying around. So you kind of got this, like, I don't know what you would call it. Anyway, you can switch view from the eagle to your dude back to the eagle. There was like a 5-second loading on the Xbox One. And it's seamless on the Xbox X. And I've noticed that... on a lot of things, when I had loading screens, it loads way faster. It loads like, well, I'm playing NBA 2K right now. It loads a game in about half the time that it took before.
I would hope, it does that, right? Like, is that one of the things that they even? Like,
yeah, no, it has more memory than the regular Xbox One did.
Yeah,
you tempted me, guys, but like, it's like one of our friend, like a friend of ours said. He's like, it's 100% awesome, but like the system you already have is 98% awesome. So it's like,
that's true. Like if you're already enjoying your Xbox One,
and I don't have to buy, like, if you told me tomorrow that, like, shit, you told me Halo 6, which is like a series I don't even really care about, you told me that's coming out on the Xbox One X and I can only get it there, I'm buying the console tomorrow. Like, no question, I'll just go buy it. But like the fact that I can still play everything on it is still like, well, I'll get it eventually. It probably, the Xbox One X probably won't be the current model when I get it, but I'll get it eventually. And if I can play the same content everywhere, it's like I'm gonna wait to upgrade. You know,
I like the idea that, like, if so, like, everything that we're hearing is that Sony's going to release a PlayStation 5, whether that's next year or the year after. They are releasing an actual successor. Like, this is not another step. This is the PS5. I do kind of like the idea of, you know, whatever the next Xbox is, just being the next Xbox. Like, you'll be able, like, so you'll eliminate the S, and the X becomes the low end model at that point. And so, like, everything forward, yeah. Like, you could then be like, all right, everything needs to be able to play on the X, but going forward, like,
yeah,
the new system has.
And then you're always kind of like doing baby steps toward the next system, where, like, yeah, you could buy the upgrade if you want, or you just wait for the next new thing. I think that's what will happen, kind of like a hybrid of the two different worlds, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, there will always be the next step, but, like, in between that, you'll be able to, like, do you guys think that's, like, a model that could exist?
At some point they're going to have to, I assume. I just still wonder how, like, basic fans will understand it. Like, oh, is this, you know, because, like, do you remember the nonsense that was the 3DS, the 2DS, the new 3DS, and all that shit, like, and only certain games could be played on the new 3DS, but not the 3DS, like, that, like, I mean, you're... It has to be very carefully marketed in a way that, like, doesn't give people, like, fuck are all of these devices and which one will my games run on?
Which is why I very clearly think that Microsoft does not have an exclusive for the X, right? Like, there's no Xenoblade for new 3DS for the X. Like, it is...
Right, but not yet, right? Right. Like, at some point when they do that cutoff, though, that's, like, that moment where then... people got to be like, oh, okay.
I think you have to do that on a system, though, from the start to say that. Like, I don't think they could do that in the middle of X, can they? Or
no, I mean, they could. When, like, whatever future console comes after the X.
I think you do, like, right. Like, whatever the next, so, like, let's say the triple X, right?
I hope that's triple what they call
Xbox,
it.
The X-rated box.
Yeah. Whatever the next box is, like, you could be like, all right, so the Xbox One X is our low-end model. You need at least that
to
play the new games. But everything is going to look better on the triple X. Like, it's all going to play better. It's all going to look better. But the X will also play it. And then, like, at that point, like, hey, if you have an S, you need to at least, like, you know, spend the $200, $250 or whatever to get an X.
It's almost like consoles will have to be forwards compatible for one generation or some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I guess that'd be one way to put it, but
it's gonna be an interesting time.
I'll upgrade eventually to everything. It'll be fine.
I like, it's a really nice box. It's actually smaller than the original PS4. It is a fucking hefty bitch, though.
It's a brick. It really is. I think it weighs 3 pounds more than the S.
Yeah, it's heavy.
But it's
is it like the original? Is it like the original Xbox One?
What do you mean? Like, in weight?
Is it like the size of a
The Xbox One is big. The Xbox S is slightly smaller. This is even smaller.
Oh, it's even smaller.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
It is. So you have a base PS4, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I have base PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, so, like, the base
Hey, Tony.
Base PS4 is bigger than this.
But
happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, shit.
My birthday.
All right. Who's going to sing it?
Oh, it's you, Jeff, obviously.
Yeah, Jeff, you sing.
I ain't fucking singing on my own. I'm the guy that, like, is just in the crowd that...
Okay, but I'm also the person who... I am the only person awake in my house right now, so I'm not singing.
So you are definitely the one who's singing it.
No, because the rooms of the people who are asleep are right next to me. I ain't going to wake them up. I'm not going to give them those nightmares.
What the hell are you doing? We're arguing about who's going to sing Tony happy birthday. Right, well, while we figure that out... so, Tony, you are enjoying the box at this point.
I am loving it. NBA 2K looks awesome. I love the hardwood looks like actual wood. Of course, you know I'm going to be thinking about whatever the next system is too, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's
nice, about every system being a time. It's
like
real.
Literally, the people. I mean, you can tell that they're not real people because I play video games and I know what real people look like. But if all you saw was the hardwood, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between this and like an actual NBA game.
Right. I'm sure if you look at Forza 7 on it, the cars are just indistinguishable from real cars.
Yeah.
It's something that like I almost back when the Dreamcast came out.
Yes, tell me the tales of the Dreamcast, Chris.
I got NHL 2K, and I was playing it on a smaller TV with my brother at Christmas time, and my dad had walked by. He's like, "What, you guys watching hockey? Like, we're playing hockey, like." But now we're getting to a point where somebody could walk by and like, if you're not paying enough attention, like you may like catch the look of the floor in NBA 2K and like, hey, what game's on? Like, oh no, we're playing a game, not like. I think the fidelity is getting so close to what it actually looks like.
I've been fooled before. Like, I forgot whose house I was at, or I like walked into a room and I was like, oh, it's a video game. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, man. Everything I hear about like Battlefront 2 is like it looks amazing. Like, could somebody just kind of walking by think like you're watching like a battle scene in Star Wars?
Yeah. I'm sure if you didn't see anybody's faces, yeah, and it was just like starfighters or even stormtroopers, right? Like,
right.
As long as they didn't move weird, you know, and the lighting was proper, right? Like, I think like in terms of like the future of how close games get to the uncanny valley and stuff, like lighting and facial capture and like. Like stuff like that is going to be like where we see the bigger leaps from now on, I think, until we just like up until the moment we shatter the uncanny valley. And it's just like, all right, it's a holodeck now. Everything is imperceptible from reality.
Dude, let me take a hit off my pipe and blow your mind. You know what's really sad? We'll never get to see where games are 300 years from now.
Thank God.
They'll be like, dude, there's going to be some Mario game like that far in the future. I'm never going to get to play. It's going to be amazing. It's going to get 10 out of 10s.
My goal is to have my consciousness uploaded into something and then have it downloaded into another body.
Like I don't even care about downloading into another body. If you could upload it for me into a computer and let me play future games, I think I'd be okay with that. Like, I'd be like, that's better. That's better than not existing at all. Virtual game tester. Yeah, like it's either this or I could be nothing. Well, I guess I'll play video games forever. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's right? Cool. Yeah, watch movies and play video games forever.
I mean, that's basically all we do now, right? I mean,
exactly,
kind of. Yeah,
like we go with to work. And with work, we go to work so that we can buy video games
so and this watch would be movies. Better.
Pete, was there anything else big news-wise that we should touch on?
I don't know what your definition of big is, but I'm going to run through a couple of quickies. One funny one, because it's probably the only light news that I have, is that Tekken 7 announced its third guest character, and it's Noctis from Final Fantasy 15. I don't remember who the other two were, but like the trailer is actually pretty funny. He actually looks like he fits like right in, and there's like a whole new stage, which is the Hammerhead Garage and stuff. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's actually
I'm not going to buy Tekken 7, but that it does sound pretty awesome.
Right. And it is, it's just a cool addition that like Namco for the longest time never had guest characters in their game. Right. Like Akuma, I think, is the first right in Tekken 7. And like, I like that they're loosening up now and they're like having a bit more fun with it, especially since it seems like they're eating Street Fighter's lunch right now. Like, because 5 is still like this awkward redheaded stepchild of the fighting game industry at the moment.
And Injustice is getting the turtles, right?
Yeah, buddy. That was going to be my next thing is that, yeah. No word on if the turtles are all, it seems like they're just going to be separate skins for the same character kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Because then their pack would be, here's six characters instead of four, or three like they usually are, so. So, fighting games are fun again.
Yeah.
Except for Street Fighter, which is not fun. But. And then we had a bunch of closures over the past couple of weeks. The first is that Telltale laid off about 90 people, 25% of their workforce. They're doing a corporate restructuring. Of course, yeah, and that, like, they're finally going to start upgrading their tech and stuff. People think they're going to move over to Unity because the CEO of Unity is on the board of directors for Telltale.
That might be a good call.
Yeah, because their tech is still fairly garbage. They need to slow the hell down. Like, take a breather. You know? They're finally ending The Walking Dead and stuff. You know, Batman is still going, but otherwise, I don't think they have any ongoing series right now. I think Guardians finished, right?
The last one just came out, yeah.
Oh, okay. That was one. Runic Games is shut down. They're the Torchlight guys, and they put out Hob.
Yeah.
Which I heard only sold 45,000 copies.
Might be why they were put down.
Yep. They're gone. Mitigo, the people who made Gigantic, had almost all their staff laid off. And they said they're just keeping a skeleton crew around for whatever reason. I don't know. It seems like the game never really attracted much of an audience. So I forgot who their publisher is. It's a Chinese company that owns both of them.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because the name of the Perfect World owns them.
Yes.
Yeah, them and Motiga and Runic Games. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then Disney yesterday shut down Marvel Heroes. They have shuttered. Suddenly. What's that?
Happened very suddenly.
Yeah, they. I guess to some people there was some writing on the wall because, over the last month, according to Kotaku, it says the studio stopped talking about progress on the game. Developer Gazillion missed 4 of its weekly community updates, plus the Halloween event and the upcoming Thor Ragnarok tie-in content. Fans also noticed that 2 community managers seemed to disappear from the forum. 1 current and 2 former employees confirmed that within a year of the game's launch, there were at least 3 rounds of layoffs.
Oh, it shuts down December 31st.
Yeah, and that are now removing the ability for players to buy things in the game. It says that a lot of people, I think at some point, like, I don't know, there are 2 ways that I can look at the story, and it's that Disney, like, is like, this has run for 4 years, it isn't giving us what we want anymore. Because I was talking with my dad about it. My dad and my brothers were really into this game. And at some point when they were talking to me, they would tell me that, like, every 6 months they would refresh the game. It would be rebalanced. You would have to respec all your characters. And there would be, like, 3 new currencies. And each did different things, and there were different ways to get them. And it just seemed like it had ballooned into the most complicated mess of a game you'd ever seen. But then at the same time, I also wonder if at some point Gazillion just looked at Disney and gave them the finger because their former director had, or now former director, Jeff Donis. The layoffs would definitely not be the fault of the people who actually worked on the game or so the customers. It was a real thing. People didn't see their families as much as they should, and they sacrificed their health to work an 80-hour week when an important patch deadline was looming. The patch release schedule, especially on PC, which was the main focus, was aggressively insane. So it sounded like these people were just worked into the ground and then just, like, kicked out the front door.
That's a shame. I guess I should try and play through that campaign and get my achievements because it'll be a dead game in a month and a half.
Yeah. Let's see. Some good news. The voice actor strike for the video game stuff is officially over. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but I guess now, like, the papers have been signed. It officially spelled out what they got and stuff like that, but, like, now people can go back to work and, like, not have to worry about that sort of nonsense.
Unions, bro.
Yeah. And yeah, I have one other story. I'm not sure if we really want to go into it. It's kind of over now. In the similar vein of the Naughty Dog stuff that we also didn't talk about, this having to do with gaming websites instead of gaming developers. Don't know if you guys saw any of the IGN stuff going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They did, like, a walkout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the terms – in another three-part story –
Oh, God. We can't spend another three
parts. No. This is really short. Quickly. I don't know. Quickly. So part one, a former employee, Callie Plaggy, is how I guess you pronounce her name. She put out a whole thing under the Me Too hashtag about how she was sexually harassed by also former employee Vince Ingenito. And that she was treated horribly by HR. HR basically blamed her and her chest and that she was forced to sign a bunch of papers saying that she was
And her chest? Did you slip that in there?
I didn't slip that in. Like literally, like...
Did they slip that in there?
Like, she said that, like, that she was using her body, especially her chest or something like that,
God.
Manipulate him or, like...
What?
It was stupid. But and they made her sign a bunch of papers that said that she was equally at fault.
Well, they are owned by Fox, aren't they?
They were. They're owned by Ziff Davis.
At the time, yeah.
Ziff. This was after Ziff.
Okay, after the sale.
But she works at GameSpot now. Vince does his own YouTube thing or whatever. I won't go into like super deep specifics on the comments and stuff. Her tweets are still out there and you can view them. Kotaku has a whole thing. They even have the documents that she signed in HR that she had copies of. Vince responded in like this really, like really long 16-part Twitter string where he opens with the line, "I don't believe that Callie is a liar, but..." And then continues to try and, like, dispel all these notions while also kind of doing exactly what she said she did. And then he posts text between them and forgets to block out the other woman's name who he had sexually harassed.
Nice.
Who at the time had not come forward but has since come forward. I don't know if you guys see... what's her name here? I'm trying to remember. She does, I think, like, stuff for... She's an IGN associate editor, Chloe.
Yeah,
Chloe?
She's still there. Yeah,
yeah. She eventually came forward saying that she was the other woman and that things were even much worse than what Callie had described and stuff like that. But so that happened on Saturday. On Monday, Alana Pierce posts on Twitter that there won't be any daily fix because she and the other IGN editors have decided that they're not working until the company responds. And then a couple hours go by, a statement goes up on the website from them explaining why they're doing what they're doing. And then about an hour, 2 hours
later. Who's them?
Sorry, the editors, about why they're not working. And essentially, like you said, staging a walkout and stuff because like this happened on Saturday and the company just kind of pretended like it didn't happen. And I guess they had a meeting that morning. Everybody was like super pissed and, you know, and like, what? Like, why the hell? Why hasn't Pear or any of the other people doing any of this stuff, or Steve Butts, who's editor in chief, or anybody. Like, everybody just continued on, like tweeting and doing whatever they were doing, like nothing had come out about the website that they were on. Executive Vice President Mitch Galbraith, who I've never heard of, I guess he's more of a corporate higher-up, put up a post responding to it and saying that they were bringing in, like, an independent auditor to like look into HR and like better practices they can do and stuff like that. So that's the short version of this whole thing. It's a much longer Kotaku story of the whole thing if you want pieces and stuff. But
so like they like the company responded to their walkout.
Yes.
In a positive way. They didn't fire everyone.
Yes.
So I guess the main thing I love about this whole story is like I love the concept of solidarity and like people fighting, like that's why I love unions. That's why like I fucking planned walkouts when I was a little kid, like to like try to get a result, you know. And good for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they did the right thing.
Yeah, for sure. And they got what they wanted, and that sounds like really snide, but I don't at all mean it that way. I mean, like, they accomplished their goal.
No, it's just, it goes to show you're not powerless. Like, dude, you, without you guys, they're nothing. So, like, they have to do what you want if you fucking band together. And, like, if people stick together, they have power. That's all right. I'm saying.
And stuff, you know, and according, you know, in the future and stuff, Jason Schreier, who would run this IGN article and stuff, said that they're also working on several investigations right now that will hopefully lead to more exposure. So I have no doubt that there is way more stuff to come on these, on, not necessarily on IGN, but in the games industry total.
Also, I had never heard of whoever, like, I don't even remember the person's name. That
Callie or Vince?
No, not, I know Callie. Vince?
Yeah, Vince, he was a guy who, he got hired, I think, mid-2015, and he was only with the company for a year and a few months or something like that. And he was, he was pretty good.
Personality that people know?
No. I'm sorry? No, was not that really.
Personality?
No, he did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. He was never really on any podcasts and stuff like that. The ironic thing that people say about him is that when, during the whole Colin thing, with Kind of Funny and stuff, with him leaving and like and whatever, like he came out really hard against Colin, like as like being like
sexist
and gross and stuff. And then like naturally, as usual, these men who constantly use like this like proactive feminism as like a way to disguise their
monster
actions.
I always get worried when a guy starts referring to themselves as a feminist. Like,
I mean,
dude, what are you trying to make off for? Like, why? What have you done? That's the first time. That...
I would agree with feminist criticisms, but I would not like identify myself as I'm a feminist and like whatever. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it just, you doth protest too much. Like, whatever.
I mean, the thing I've always thought about the term feminist, like, men have had enough. I don't need to be a part of that term. Like, that is for women.
Right. We can be...
I will support them. Feminists, but I am not a feminist because I risk nothing by declaring myself as a feminist, whereas they do.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is the same shit that happened with Nick Robinson back in Polygon and stuff. The whole, like, oh, man, I'm really, like, into women's rights and stuff, and but only so women will like me, and then I can use that to my advantage.
Right.
Also, wait... Oh, I remember that guy. He was like, he made the joke about jerking off to Crystal from Star Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. That's something that always sticks out about him to me. Anyways, carry on.
No, you're fine.
All right.
That's, well, like I'm sure there's like one or two other things I missed, but I'm pretty sure that's the gauntlet of large news over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Unless you want to talk about the Game Award nominees.
We will talk about the Game Awards.
I want to say one thing about
some other time.
What's up?
One thing. I just think the awards categories, like, they suck. Like,
why?
There's so many, like, esports gamer. This
all right,
gamer
stop, Jeff. We're not talking about
sucks.
Game Awards.
Just saying.
Me too.
I'll get over yourself, Jeff. I know you don't like multiplayer games, but.
Dude, come on. All right. Anyways, that's my argument. Dude, come on.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we did play quite a lot of games. Tony, tell us about Assassin's Creed.
All right. So I talked a little about it when I played it for the first time. So now I put in like 10 hours. And I've gotten my Hidden Blade and I played through, you know, a significant portion of the story. I mentioned earlier it's the most attractive game I've ever played, and that is, you know, every part of it, like synchronizing the points now, like climbing up to the stuff, it's so worth it to see from the top what everything looks like because the draw distance is so awesome. And now you're like, you're getting an actual view. You don't have like the fog off in the distance unless you haven't like gone out there and like seen it. Because there are still points that are blocked off, but the game looks awesome. The story is so far pretty interesting. It starts off pretty choppy, but once you start getting into like Alexandria and like going out and like meeting the people and like completing some of the missions, it's really interesting. They do some great stuff with the character Bayok, I think is his name.
Bayok.
However you say it, but he has a really close relationship with his wife. They are very sexual, which is hilarious. They're like throwing each other themselves at each other once you finally meet her. So,
so not one to play around the kids.
No, no, definitely not. Especially when he gets his hidden blade. This is kind of spoilery, but there's a thing with the hidden blade, and I don't know if you guys remember what Altair had done to him because of the hidden blade. But that kind of comes back in this game, and that's kind of a plot point, which is interesting. He also has some like interactions with people from his old hometown who've now moved to the big city, and like they have like this kind of conflict because like they've turned on their heritage and all that stuff, and Bayok is very conservative, and it's like, you know, how can you hate where we're from and who we were, and it's just some great storytelling around that kind of stuff. Moving through the environment seems to feel better than it has in other Assassin's Creed games. I don't randomly get stuck in places now. I feel like they finally figured this out.
Well, that's good.
The one big criticism, I don't like the combat. I haven't been able to figure it out. Maybe I'm stupid, but like stuff that is supposed to work in a certain way doesn't seem to work in that way.
That's like every Assassin's Creed.
Well, I see, but I've never had a problem with the combat in Assassin's Creed games.
I think they're just this one. That's like what drives me away from that game. Is it's so like I hate it. Like anyways.
When was the last time you played an Assassin's Creed game, Jeff?
I played a little bit of 4, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, like you're supposed to be like be able to put up your shield and like block and all that. It just doesn't seem to work. Like I can go through like a horde of people. Like I can kill 5 people or whatever. But if one dude is carrying a shield, like I have infinite trouble with him, because for some reason I can't get the shield breaker to work properly. I know one of the unlocks is like you can power up your arrow and like knock his shield back, but I haven't unlocked that yet. So until I do, I'm going to continue to be frustrated with the combat.
House, it sounds like from everything I've heard from other people that have played it, it sounds like this has gone like full on RPG progression.
Oh man, there's like a full unlock tree. It's like every time you kill somebody, you see like you get 10 or 8 points. So like it's kind of like kind of compare it to Madden now. You're off like stabbing people and they're like points on the screen. I killed him. I got points. Gotta get some points. So every person you assassinate gets you points. Like completing quests are like it doesn't compare. Like you'll get 800 or 1,000 for completing a quest, and you'll get like 10 for stabbing someone to death. So it's kind of like go out and if you want to upgrade, you have to actually go out and
do stuff. It's The Witcher, right? Like you have to do the quest as opposed to killing monsters and stuff.
Right.
That's not where you get your points.
Right. You'll get a little tiny bit, but it doesn't make a huge difference. Even the weapons like upgrade, like you can take, if you have like a level 3 weapon that you really like and you're level 4, you can have it upgraded to level 4, which is funny. You can go like a blacksmith and have them make it better for you. So,
oh, interesting. So it doesn't like necessarily encourage you to try a lot of different weapons out because you could just take the one that you really like with you all the way through the series.
Yes. Yeah, you could keep paying more money, or you could like find a better version of it, or to buy a better version of it. But you could just take the same weapon and keep upgrading it, especially if it's like rare or legendary. Like there are weapons like that that have like special abilities that you could upgrade.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it. It's
it's
more Assassin's Creed. If you hated Assassin's Creed before, I mean, Jeff should not play this game.
I'm intrigued by like just the setting and like all the screenshots people are like posting and sharing. It looks amazing. But,
there are a lot of people who I respect who have had like reversals on this series.
Yeah,
this game, and I'm like, oh shit, maybe. But I just still cannot convince myself to spend $60.
Like I just don't trust it because like I know people in general have like a fondness for the series, and I'm like.
Right.
Everyone I've played, I don't like at all. I don't like how it feels mechanically. I don't like what the gameplay is. Like, nothing about it is good to me. So, but like the screenshots I see, like that's like a game I want to play. It's like you get to explore this like desert and like
there's like all these
cool,
Yeah, you get to ride around on camels that explore the desert.
I might get it on sale, honestly, but it's so much is riding against it for me.
No, video game sale day is a week away, Jeff.
I know.
Xbox One is watching already.
I'm watching.
Just saying.
I have it, so I'm waiting. I'm not waiting to play it, but it's on my list to play. I'm trying to get through some other stuff first, but because this one seems like a big undertaking.
Yeah.
Tony, you also beat Mario.
I did.
Yes. Can we please talk about it? Like, are we allowed to talk about it now or no?
I'm not really gonna. Maybe we should. Maybe that's like game of the year level stuff.
Are we free to talk about it or no? Or like, do you care or not? Like,
do I personally care? No, but I mean,
let's just hold it for, you know, a month from now. I mean,
I can't wait. Dude, all right, fine, whatever.
Just DM Tony, you DM'd me.
I'll talk around it, but like, I kind of want to like talk about how you felt about the ending. Anyways,
I think the ending is great. I love it.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like right before the credits and then after the credits, but both will think they're awesome.
Yes, no, they're great. They really are. I agree with you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Anyways, I said those words out loud in the history of this podcast. It's probably right.
We need to strip it. Oh, shit, the recording hasn't started.
Oh, dear Lord.
No, we're good. So what'd you think, Tony? Like,
no, I think it was awesome. I really like... I love the 2D parts where you go into the pipe and, like, play like the old style Mario. I think that's probably my favorite part of the game. How the music even changes like the old 8-bit style. Mm-hmm. It's really well done, and all the characters like look like they're supposed to look.
Yeah, no matter what you go into the pipe as, you look
right.
Like that.
You know, in that section at the end, which we will not mention, when you play as a certain character, it looks exactly like him.
Yeah, that's really cool.
This game is so well designed in like every fashion, and those stupid moons are everywhere. You can play this game forever.
I've combed through some of the levels like 3 times now, and every time I go back into the level, I find like 10 more moons. And it's just amazing.
And you don't even have to work to find them. You're like, oh my god, how did I not see this before?
Exactly. It's that's a really cool aspect of it.
Yeah, no, there's so much to do and so much to see in this game, and you could play it forever. You literally could.
I'll be playing it for quite some time, that's for sure. I think I will be going after most of those moons.
Chris, you beat the game as well?
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you liked it, Tony. I really like some of those challenge rooms and just how it's like they thought about you trying to break the game.
Yeah.
You know what I strangely really love is the time trial things where it's like a scarecrow, you throw your hat on, and it's like you have 30 seconds to get to the spot, and like sometimes it's super tight, like you have to really fucking work on your moves to get over there and like do it over and over sometimes to get it.
Yep.
Yeah, like I don't know, the game is pretty great.
My son is obsessed with Yoshi. Have you found Yoshi?
Yes, I have found Yoshi.
He loves Yoshi.
Spoilers. That's a big spoiler.
Why is that a spoiler?
Because I did not find him until after the game is over.
Well, you can't find him until after the game is over.
Well, that's why it's a spoiler.
You can find his house before then.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So I ended up at his house before finishing the game. Which is how I knew that the Mushroom Kingdom, like that you would eventually go there. But
see, I did not know that, and that was a pretty nice surprise.
That was
but
cool.
Also, like, dude, like I'm telling you, like the final cutscene right before the credits, I was grinning ear to ear at how great that was, and like, I don't know, it was just like I thought a really cool message, even like it was cool, like and just him throwing the hat at the camera. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a ton of fun.
It was just like, it was like a perfect, like, it was like a movie that ends on a perfect shot. It was just so good. Anyways.
All right, let's talk about the other game that came out that day. Which it does seem to be being regarded as the other game, too.
Yeah, sales are not good.
It is the other game.
Well, I mean, like, there's Assassin's Creed and Mario.
And then there's Wolfenstein 2.
There's Wolfenstein 2.
Well, fine, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, that's the
I forgot about Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
but both
Mario and Assassin's Creed are selling extremely well.
People bought them.
Wolfenstein 2 does not seem like it is doing great, but
14 Jeff, on NPD.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, granted, NPD on October ended two days yes. after that game came out. Yeah. But so
it's the same true great. For the other games.
But Mario's second, yeah. so. Jesus.
Where did Assassin's Creed place on NPD?
I have no idea. I didn't even look at it. I forgot that one came
out. I was going to be like, is that number one? I don't know.
That would make sense. It came out on three systems.
Yeah, right? it's multi-platform. Yeah, so
it's Assassin's Creed. So.
But yeah, Jeff, you've finished Wolfenstein, so has Pete. I have played. So where I have just this isn't a spoiler. It is in one of the trailers. I just met up with the sort of Grace. Is that her name?
Yeah. Okay. So you're only like a quarter of the way through the game.
Yeah, like, I'm like 2.5 hours, 3 hours in.
Is he at like that city?
No, he's at the he just met the first resistance woman.
Yeah. So I just climbed up the elevator shaft, and I held the guy over they shot me. Well, he tried to shoot me in my Dead Space armor.
Yeah, it's like
so I picked him up and held him over the elevator shaft, and then he pulled a grenade on me.
Yeah, it's pretty early, I think.
That's probably like pretty... what? Is that New York or New Orleans?
It's New York.
Okay.
And then you
yeah.
So it's in the Empire State Building, and then you have to evac them
right
from there to your sub.
Yes. You're like one third, I'd say.
Yeah, which makes sense because Pete, you said it took you about 9 hours.
Give or take, yeah.
I'm at like 2 hours and 45 minutes right now. So.
Yeah, are you heading to Roswell? Is that your next mission?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's when things get crazy.
Yeah.
And that's when the good shit starts.
Well, see, like, that's my problem with the game is, like, I think you and other people have overhyped, like, that section of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's good. I'm not a grouch. It's just, I think maybe, like, there's a chance that it's just, like...
This is coming from the man who keeps yelling that Zelda is the greatest game of the decade.
I back it up. Play it and tell me it's not.
I'm not very happy to.
Sorry, Jeff.
Play it more. Anyways, I think a lot of it was people built it up so much that, like, first of all, when I got there, I wasn't even sure if that was it. I was like, all right, that was a pretty cool part. So, like, I messaged you, Pete. I was like, so was that the part?
Yeah, but
like, yeah. And I was like, that's it? Like, I don't know. It's like, it's a cool part. But, like, I think people are always overselling a lot of this game, honestly. But, like, whatever. I mean, I like the game overall. I just think that people are overselling that whole, like, oh, it goes amazing places. And, I mean, there's cool parts. That's how I would put it.
Okay. I've liked what I've... All right, so I'm going to put it this way. I don't like what I played so far.
It's like even worse for you because I like the gameplay kind of.
But yeah, like... I don't like how this game plays. But I do. I am interested in where it's going. I kind of like I like BJ as a character. I like I like this.
I like BJ cast too. Wait, what?
Right.
What
yeah. About? Exactly. Yes, we're talking about that.
Hey.
I enjoy the people that are on the sub with him. Like, yes. It's fun. I just don't. I don't like playing the game. I don't like shooting things in this game. Like, I think
did you just put it on easy?
It is on easy now.
Yeah.
It is on easy now.
Yeah. But it's just like I just don't like. Like I was telling Jeff before we started, I enjoy the combat takedown more than actually like playing with guns. The combat takedown is very
What's the problem with the gunplay? I don't understand it.
I just don't like how it feels. Like it does. It's not tight.
Sluggish, slow. Like
it's really loose. And like aiming down the sights is almost useless. It almost feels like you don't want to aim down the sights. You just want to kind
of.
Like,
I spray from the hip, man. A lot of times on it.
You might be better off because like the gun takes up so much of the real estate on the screen that it makes it hard to see what you're shooting at. It's just a different philosophy in how they have set up the gunplay in that. And I'm more used to like more modern day shooters and how they handle. And this is much more loose. I'm just not engaged by the shooting. The stealth takedowns are fun, and the combat takedowns with the axe are fun.
It's just funny to me that I don't really notice the difference that much. Like I guess I'm not as much a connoisseur of like first person shooters as some people. Like I just like I don't know. It seems good to me. Plus, it has a cool story.
Like, I mean, coming off, did we talk about that? I played Call of Duty. I don't know. Anyway, I played Call of Duty. And that game just has really tight shooting. Like, I don't like that game, but...
I could notice that on Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty is super tight. The controls are snappy.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels right.
Exactly. It's like there is no snappiness to this. It just... It's loose. It just... A good comparison would be Doom, I guess, but Doom just has this arcadey feel, and you're bouncing around, like shooting enough to then go up and do the glory kill. Whereas this, the feel isn't that way. Like, there's just something off about the way the shooting works, and I felt that we had this discussion about the first game. Like, I didn't really enjoy shooting in the first game. This is very similar. In that regard, I just want to play it for the story because I think Machine Games actually does a good job with characters and character development and telling like wonky ass like stories. This shit's nuts.
Yeah, I won't spoil it because I know you're still like early on in it, but like I did enjoy where the story went. I just think people are overhyping like certain sections, but like I think it's a huge part of the game that's awesome. Is like,
there's this. It's definitely very. It's crazy how topical it is, right? Like, BJ has this amazing speech as they're heading from the Empire State Building back to the sub early on, and he just kind of like goes about like how like. No, like you can't take like freedom from Americans. Like it's playing with fire, and I'm gonna pour gasoline on it. And
yeah,
it's just this like rousing speech that like, yeah, like that's how it should be. Like Nazis are bad.
Yeah, like the game in the end as well. I won't spoil or anything, but does lean into the fact that like there are good guys and bad guys in the world, and you just stand up and fight like. It's, I don't know, like, for any, like, sort of faults I have with the game, I think it's, like, a cool fucking narrative for a first-person shooter.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that aspect of it, so I'm glad I'm playing it. Even if I don't like playing it.
If I'm being honest, I think the New Order is better. I think it's the better game. Maybe it's just because it was new then, like, that whole idea of, hey, Wolfenstein is good again, and it's going to have actually like real characters and a story.
Right.
But, I don't know. This one's still very good.
Before we move off of Wolfenstein and the other two big games of October, just brief update, GameSpot has the October 2017 top 20 games from MPD. Middle Earth, Shadow of War was number one game.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed was number two, and Super Mario Odyssey was three.
Three.
How the fuck was... I guess it was just out longer.
It came out like insane. October 6th or something like that.
Nobody talks about that game.
No, but the first one was very popular, so I think a lot of people bought it before knowing what it was.
Here, if this wants to make you feel a little bit bad about Wolfenstein, South Park was number 4. NBA, FIFA, WWE, Madden fill in the next 4 slots. So Wolfenstein doesn't come in until 14. The Evil Within outsold it, but that came out, I believe, October 6th as well. 13.
And it was like right above it.
Yeah. And Zelda finished at 15th. Right below.
Zelda.
So Zelda, a game that has been out since March, almost topped it. So that's a little scary for Wolfenstein. I'm glad Bethesda keeps taking those risks, though.
I think you need to be smarter about it. I think Wolfenstein release in like June or some bullshit like that, like some slow month would have been.
Yep, I think it would have been really a perfect January release.
Even hold it, yeah, hold it. Like, yeah, exactly. Just fuck it. Just not right now. Yep. I bought it because I'm into that game, but like more people
and,
would buy it.
And at the time. Worst fucking possible time, like
yeah.
at the return of Assassin's Creed, you know, it's the. Was off a year.
New Mario game. I mean, just
and
outright.
And a brand new Mario game. Like, how do you, why would you go up against those?
Yeah, and everything and anything else. There's Destiny out. You know, it's just.
Now, at the same time, I wonder which game announced the release date first.
It doesn't matter. I get off
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, like, that's one where, like, I mean, you see it with movies all the time, right? Where, it's like, somebody's like, I'm staking out this day, and then Disney comes along and is like, yeah, we're releasing Star Wars that day. I'm like,
yeah,
we're moving.
All right, exactly.
We're
game,
out.
For some it. Reason, like, the games industry is still not that flexible, and it's frustrating because, like, when they pick a date, the only thing that will get them to move it is if they don't think it'll be done in time. Not that they think it's a bad time.
Yeah, and I don't think Wolfenstein needed more time in the cooker. No. It just I think that moving it, much like with Titanfall, would have given it more breathing room and a chance to shine a little bit on its own.
Yeah. For sure.
Pete, tell us about a game that I don't think anybody like I played it, but we haven't heard a whole lot about it. Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
It's not the game I thought you were talking about. Okay.
No, we will talk about that one.
Because that one is all, like literally word for word could have, like just fit that one too. Yeah, I bought it because Amazon had it for 50% off. It was $20 on Amazon.
That's a really good price for that game.
Yes, it is. And I beat it in, you know, across a couple days and stuff, and it's really fucking good. Like
better than Uncharted?
Uncharted 4, I think. I think it is.
Yeah. I might not go that far because I think Uncharted 4 like does a really good job. One like crafting an ending to a story is really hard, especially one that has had several pieces to its story, like not just an end to like the game, but an end to the whole series
and the whole
character.
It was actually satisfying.
And you know, I mean, you want to look at like an ending. Let's look at like Mass Effect or something like that, or I can't even. That was the first one that came to mind. You know, Halo, right? Like Halo 3, or which some people didn't like, or you know, whatever. Like, but ending long series is hard, and I think that like Uncharted 4 does a really good job. And Uncharted 4, like, it took Nathan Drake, which was just like this facsimile for Indiana Jones, and like, oh, wisecracker Nathan Fillion, you know, anti-hero nonsense, and turned him into like an actual human being, with like. Real flaws and ambitions and like it. I think the transformation of the character goes a long way into why I enjoyed that game. It is for certain too long. I will never disagree with that. I definitely agree that it's a good maybe 3 hours too long at least. But I still think like that game does, you know, a lot of really cool stuff with that character. And like, yeah, and as an ending, as Jeff said, like it's satisfying in a way that is shocking in the world of video games. And I think the ending is actually fairly potent and like for a series that I have followed personally since it came out on the PS3 and stuff, like, you know, I have a bit of nostalgia attached to it and stuff.
But I will also give it this. It works as standalone. Like if you don't know the series, it still works. Anyways,
totally.
Go ahead.
No. And following in that, like I think Uncharted The Lost Legacy is the second best game in the series because it does a lot of what Uncharted 4 did with characters like Chloe and Nadine, right? And Chloe, she was barely in Uncharted 3. She was in maybe the first third, and then she just disappears. And she's in the second game. And in the second game, she's really just sort of like the other part of the other corner of the love triangle. And she doesn't really do a whole lot else in the game, as far as I remember.
She's working with the bad guys for a good portion of it.
Okay. It's been a very long time since I've played Uncharted 2. Yeah, weirdly enough, Uncharted games have a weird habit of, like, dumping characters partway through. Like, Sully disappears about a third of the way through Uncharted 2. But I digress. Anyways, yeah, this game is, like, 8 hours long. Maybe not even that much. I think it was, like, 6 or 7 by the time I finished it.
Yeah, which I think is a nice length for that type of game, which is...
It sounds better than 25 or whatever the fuck it felt like in the other
one. Yeah, that was my... big issue with Uncharted 4 is just it drags.
Well, it took 8 hours to start, I think, was the biggest problem. Like, it, like,
and I think
too slowly paced,
right? And I think, like, unfortunately, like, I actually imagine it would have been shorter had they bothered to give Drake any character personality in any of the earlier games besides that he likes to hunt treasure. Like, but they have to lay all this groundwork in the opening of the game, like, that he's like, he's living at home now, he's trying to go. Straight.
And that stuff. Shit worked though, dude. When you're playing around in the attic.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like it was like storytelling.
Yeah, he's got like, a little toy gun and stuff. Oh, I thought that was like, it was really cute.
It was like storytelling through gameplay though. Like, you're just playing a game, but it's like, you know, it's also a tutorial. Like,
and then I get to play really Crash Bandicoot 1. So.
Yes, that was, oh my god. Do you guys remember? I got that game like a week early and I was like, you guys.
Yeah, you want to talk about overhyping in a moment. Except for
actually. Yeah, exactly. I knew you were going to love that.
But yeah, like, and yeah, this game does a lot with Chloe. Like, it adds on stuff. Like, I feel like they're made a bit apart. I don't remember if they ever established this in the second game where they just like, oh yeah, she's half Indian. I feel like they kind of just made that up for this game. But, you know, whatever. It worked.
Yeah, I don't remember them ever mentioning it prior to...
I thought she was just entirely Australian. It's funny because I'm surprised they didn't try to go co-op with it because I think it actually would have worked as a co-op game. Like, in the way that the puzzles are solved, like, they're built for two people to solve them. It's just that Nadine runs on an AI that helps solve the other half for you.
Oh, and that's so great.
It is.
Like, you figured out what to do, and it's like, we're not going to waste your time by having your partner stand around to light this 27 other things. She'll light half of them for you, or whatever.
Right. And like, I really did enjoy the open world section, because it gave a chance for the characters to talk. And let me tell you, this game, I love it when games do this. When games, they smartly... what's the word for it? So I'll just give an example of the situation because I can't remember. But basically, like, Chloe and Nadine will be in the middle of a conversation, and I will get out of the car, we'll go fight some bad guys, and then the game will pick up, and then the conversation will pick back up. And they'll naturally be like, oh, now that was over, you were in the middle of telling me the story about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so, and it, like, it feels really natural, and...
Transitions?
Like, I'm sorry?
The transitions are natural.
Thank you. Yes. Like, yeah, in between that sort of stuff, or like, you get out to go do a puzzle and stuff, and, you know, Nadine will ask you, like, they built in so much, like, little dialogue about things and stuff like that, and it's really smart, and I really fucking like Nadine as a character. Like,
I really like the two of them working together as partners.
And part of me, like, I just couldn't stop staring at Nadine's biceps because she's fucking ripped. But yeah, the game's really good. Like, if they keep doing, like, Uncharted games like this every 2 years that are just, like, side stories and stuff.
Yeah, I'd be all right.
I'd be okay with that. Like, and I liked, actually, I thought that, you know, spoilers, I guess, you know, his brother is in this game.
And I didn't hate him.
No.
I actually liked that guy a lot. Like, He's a scoundrel, but
right, and like, I mean, at the end of Uncharted 4, like, him and Sully are like, all right, cool, Nate, we get that you're gonna go, like, be a husband now and shit, but we're not going to stop.
We're
like,
our shit. Yeah.
We're going to keep, you know. And I like that they can still pull from that stuff. And, you know, like, Nathan Drake is not forgotten in this game, right? Like, it's a, sure, it's a spinoff, but, like, it does take place very closely to Uncharted 4. So much so that, you know, a lot of Nadine's storyline has to do with what happened to her.
Yeah,
because of Nathan Drake and her and his brother and stuff.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of tension once Sam joins up with them.
Yeah,
And it feels natural though, and like the way she ultimately comes to forgive, like, I mean, not forgive, but at least, you know, allow his presence.
Right, she begins to tolerate him.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it. I think people should play that game.
Yes,
if you like Uncharted type games.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like I still think I played it with the auto aim on because I didn't really care. Like what do you call it?
You like giving chest shots.
Like combat in the Uncharted games, as everyone knows, not exactly the most amazing thing ever. I thought it was a lot better in 4, and I liked the stealth mechanics a lot. But I wasn't, like, I just wanted to play the game. I wasn't interested in, like, trying to, like, let these combat encounters go forever. Like, I wanted to solve puzzles and climb shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I like.
What I do like about the combat encounters in Lost Legacy is that there are way fewer of those bullshit encounters. Like, Uncharted 3 did this a ton, but it happened a bit in 4 too, where it was like, all right, we're going to do wave after wave after wave, and now there's going to be heavies.
Yeah.
And it's like there were less and less of like the heavies in this. And
yeah,
there are waves of enemies, but you never feel like, oh, they're just sending tanks out against me now. Like,
I think 4 did that a little bit. Like, it just kind of paced it out a little bit. But, yeah. Good. That's like, good to hear.
3 was terrible with 3 that.
Was, I mean, 3, I still think 3 is probably the worst game in the series.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, 1 is rough in some spots, and it still uses the 6-axis to throw the grenades, which kind of automatically qualifies it as the worst game. Unless you play the collection, which took that out, thankfully. But, yeah, I definitely recommend it, especially if you can get it for $20 again. I think it's back up to 40 or 30, whatever it's selling at right now. But
the original?
No, I'm sorry, Uncharted: The Lost Legacy. And it's beautiful. Oh my god, like the landscapes and stuff that they play with and stuff like the Indian altars. I learned a lot of shit in this game. I'm not sure how much of it is actually accurate, but like they go fairly in depth into like Indian religious history and stuff like that. And there's, I think the game is, this is the second game I've seen that has a feature where a character takes pictures of your adventures along the way. Which I really enjoyed, because then at the end of the game, you can go through them and some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
And stuff. And Final Fantasy did the same thing. And I think that was, it's a really smart idea because, especially with a game like,
it gives you that like chronicle of like, this is what you were doing. Like,
yeah.
Remember what you were doing at the beginning? Remember this section of the game? Remember how much fun that was? And
I'll still tell you, man, that system that they use for end game bosses is still bad. Still bad. Where you have to dodge a certain number of attacks before you can then fight, you know, actually deal damage to the boss. And like, it's just still almost impossible to predict when the guy is going to attack you.
Yes.
So, but I mean, like the scene was cool when it worked, but man, I never died, but it was really frustrating when like I would get 2 of the attacks and then like by milliseconds miss the third and then have to start the whole thing all over again. I was like, come on guys, just let me win. This is the end of the game.
So yeah, Uncharted, Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
So Pete, you also played something else, and I played it as well, and we have 2 very different opinions on it, I think. So,
yeah.
We both played Fortnite Battle Royale.
Yeah, we did. Not together, mind you.
No. I assume you played it on PS4?
No, I played it on PC.
PC, okay. I played it on Xbox One. I don't know. I haven't played PUBG. You have?
I played a lot of PUBG.
It,
Just for Jeff, I'm going to look up the amount of powers exactly.
It's cool. I don't like. I've never played PUBG before, so
I played 101 hours.
That's a lot of time.
It means nothing.
It's so PUBG and Fortnite Battle Royale are they drop you into on an island, or I don't know exactly how it is with PUBG, but they drop you into like a battle place, 100 other people. And you're fighting to, it's basically the Hunger Games or Battle Royale, the movie, that you're trying to survive to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same thing.
Do you start out with anything in PUBG? Like,
no.
So in this, you start out with like a weird, wonky fucking axe, which is useless.
Right, I was going to say, that can't deal damage, right? That's just specifically for the...
I mean, I guess you can hit somebody with it.
I've never tried. I don't know if it does any damage.
If it does, it doesn't do enough. Like, it is fucking absurd though, because it is this gigantic, cartoonish, like pickaxe thing that you are dropped into the world with. But basically, it's a you got to scavenge. You search around, try and find weapons, and then you continuously move inland or wherever to the middle of the circle. To stay alive, you don't want to be outside the circle. You'll lose health, and that's it. Like that's the game. Like you try to survive. You want to live,
right? And like I played it because my brother was like, "I want to play it." And I'm like, "All right, fine." And as somebody, yes, I did come from PUBG into this, and I was like, "All right, a lot of it should work." I played some singles beforehand, and I think it's ugly. I think it's really ugly. It has this, like, Chinese Overwatch knockoff aesthetic going on, where, like, I don't know, it's just...
It's a very cartoony look, yeah.
Well, and I'm not saying PUBG's a good-looking game. Like, PUBG, like, comes from Arma, so it's, like, fucking drab as hell. Like, I'm not saying that PUBG is a better-looking game. I just think that, like, the cartoon style that they chose for Fortnite is a bad one. But I don't know. There's some quality of life things I don't like. I can't zoom in on my map, so I can't pick specific locations on where I want to go. It's really hard to learn the area when I can't see where I'm going. I just have to walk around and like.
How many matches did you play?
4 or 5.
Okay, so like I have played about 15 now.
Mm-hmm.
You start to learn like. You start to learn the lay of the land. Like I never look at the map.
Because in PUBG, like you look at the map and you can zoom in because you can see all the little neighborhoods and houses and towers and stuff and be like, oh, okay, there's two houses over here that are like quote unquote in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
I'll go there.
Because you're already pushing this PUBG narrative. I don't want to accept it.
That's fair. I just want to accept Zelda.
Oh.
And we'll be fine.
Okay.
But that was easy.
What was it? Yeah, I don't know. I think, okay, so my other big complaint is the loot system doesn't make any sense. I do not understand the difference between common, uncommon, rare, and epic loot. Like, the UI is, the UI is garbage. I don't understand anything that's going on in that game. And not only are the menus just, like, not working, but I don't know, like, the loot system didn't make a whole lot of sense. To me at first, like at least in PUBG, it's like level 1, level 2, level 3 or whatever. I assume that epic weapons do more damage than common weapons.
I believe so.
I guess. I couldn't tell you. There are a couple of annoying other things that I just play in shooters that it won't let me crouch toggle, which is really annoying. Like I have to hold the button to crouch while I'm trying to do other shit, which is...
No.
And that's just a stylistic preference for how I play shooters and stuff.
But I've crouched. I like it. I mean, were you playing with keyboard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know obviously how it is on PC, but, I did think you had to hold down the crouch button the entire time, but, evidently all I had to do was touch it and I could stay.
Yeah. Crouched. I would do that. And my guy was just doing squats. I think on the PC it's different. Like, and I could not find an option on the menu to like, there's a sprint toggle, but not a crouch toggle.
Okay. So yeah, on at least on Xbox One, the crouch button, you just tap it and
okay.
crouch and you'll stay crouched.
That game does seem like it would be more fun with a controller than a mouse and keyboard. I think it lends itself to a more, perhaps a slower, and maybe the less buttons makes it feel like there's, like, it's a little more focused, because between, like, the building UI and the guns UI and all this shit, I don't know. I didn't wind up enjoying it a whole lot compared to PUBG. But I understand why kids like it. Like, my brother thought it was cool, and I was like, well, it kind of looks like Overwatch, and it's very colorful and stuff.
Yeah, my son's put, like, 40 hours into it.
Holy shit.
And Justin, like, he hasn't, like, he asked me for Fortnite, the regular game, but he hasn't even jumped back into that yet since I bought it for him.
Right. And
I don't know.
Yeah,
I finished 13th.
Yeah, I mean, the first round I played, I finished like 25th or something like that. And I was like, okay, so a lot of it's translatable and stuff. I just, like, you know, you don't go to cities first when you drop because everyone goes to cities. And stuff. I haven't really learned how to use the building stuff very much. Like,
it's absolutely useless until you are in like the final five, final three, final circle area.
I thought so.
Because I mean, I have actually seen some people do it very interestingly. Like, they used they just built themselves a bridge. They were at the bottom of a ravine, and they just built themselves a bridge to the top of a cliff to continue running. Like,
yeah.
And they did it really quickly, which was fascinating.
Yeah, the speed. I felt like there were some people who were able to do it in like almost like twice. Fast.
Yeah,
like twice the speed. And I was like, wait, I build so slowly. I don't understand the difference.
Yeah, I don't know what's going. Like, I watched this person like literally just run like through thin air, creating platforms as they went. It was really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't, like I said, like, I understand how it appeals to people, and it may be, like, especially when you compare it to PUBG, it probably feels way more inviting than, like, this quote-unquote gritty-looking, like, you know, Modern Warfare-type game and stuff. This is just like, oh, they look like Pixar dudes, or, like, Overwatch and stuff. That's cool.
I get the... I don't even know how much I'll play a PUBG once it comes out. I do get the appeal of it. There is a tension to playing that game.
Yeah, I'd be interested to play it.
Like, there's a tension to playing it, Jeff, that is, like, you don't get in most games. Like, yeah. I have 2 kills in 15 matches, but I finished in the top 25, like, 3 times or 4 times. And the time I finished 13th, like, I did not kill anybody. Like, I was just hiding.
You're just that time. Number. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I hid out on the one match I played, I hid out on top of like a prison roof. I went there like thinking, oh, like, this looks like a place that I could get supplies. And when I landed, I saw there were like 2 or 3 other people already in the area. But I was on the roof, so I just stayed there. And just crouch down and watch them kill each other, like, in the prison yard.
Yeah, man.
Like, it was, but it's like, you don't want to move because you can hear them. Like, if you're running, like, you can hear the running. So it's like, you want to stay crouched. And it's a fascinating, intense experience. I don't know how much I like it. Like, I enjoyed what I played, but I don't know how much I want to play it. Like,
I love it. I love it. So I like feed off of that adrenaline. Like, I play a lot with friends. I play a lot of squads and a lot of singles. And
squads, I could see squads being maybe a better way for me to play. Because, like, singles is so tense. Like,
is this out on Xbox now?
No, another month. I think December 15th, right?
Fortnite Battle Royale is, and it's free. Yes. Like, yes. You could try it. It's a free download, so but yeah, it's crazy. Like,
well, the price is right.
Yeah, it's free. Like, I mean, you can at least try it and get the feel for what PUBG is, and then PUBG will be out in a month for $30, so
no, I don't. Oh yeah, for the preview program, yeah, because it's eventually supposed to go free to play when it hits 1.0, so
So what, wait, what?
Wait, PUBG will be free to play when it goes to 1.0?
Yeah.
Because then why would I not just wait?
Yeah.
You can wait.
I thought it was going to be $30 when it released, so that's why I was...
Let me see, PUBG.
I know Fortnite will be free to play when it comes out, and you can buy like a Founders Pack right now and get like extra shit and play the Builders Beta.
So wait, that's going to be free as well?
Okay, maybe...
Fortnite itself will be free, like the entire game. Right now, Battle Royale is free, like you don't have to pay for that mode.
Right.
But Fortnite like will also have like a co-op building mode, kind of like Minecraft-y fight off zombie type creatures that has nothing to do with the competitive side. The competitive thing is free now. The building side, like you have to pay to get into right now.
I might be talking out of my ass. I thought I'd seen a bunch of stuff saying because they had like the loot box stuff from like clothing and nonsense. Okay. And I thought that they were going to do a lot of that, but maybe not.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be paid, but...
I mean, for $30, man, I played over 100 hours.
So yeah, no, you got your money's worth. All right, so that's Fortnite. Jeff, you picked up Sims 4 real quick.
I did. It's Sims. It's more Sims. It's like... We're talking about a game that came out like years ago anyways, and it's basically the same as the game I played years before that. It's the same shit. I don't like, though, that I bought like a deluxe party edition that was like the $60 version years after it came out, so I'm assuming that version like
has all the...
Yeah. It does not. It gives you a patio set, which is like... shit to build a patio and a couple more other items, but then there's still like $340 DLCs, like expansions that you could buy for this game on top of that. That's insane to me. Like I guess I should like already be used to that from previous Sims games. Like I remember to buy Seasons for Sims 2, it was like $30 extra. I don't know. I just feel like it's outrageous, dude. I don't know.
Well, is it at least fun?
Yeah, it's
a sim. It seems like you're having a good time.
Fun. Yeah, I just killed my wife.
Nice.
All right. Real quick, I played Mutant Football League. It's in early access right now on Xbox One. It'll be coming to PS4. I believe it's in early access on PC as well. That is a it's a reimagining of the old Genesis Mutant League football. It kind of plays like Madden, except you can kill the other team, like you kill their players, and you have to like group. So like you kill their quarterback, and they have to substitute in their backup. So it's interesting. There's like buzz saws on the field or landmines as you play. There's the quarterback, or you know, you can have like a special move where your quarterback or running back has a shotgun and is like blowing people away as you're running down the field. It plays a little bit like Madden mixed with Blitz. It's fun, it's goofy, it's stupid. Games are really short. It is not out fully yet. Either later this year or early next year. I think in time for the Super Bowl, they said. It's fun. I think like if you enjoy stupid football games, it's probably worth giving a go. And I guess two other things real quick. LEGO Dimensions Portal Level Pack is great. That is a great. It is basically a Portal game.
Oh, nice.
Like, but set in like a Lego universe, but you have to do portal puzzles. Like you are using the portal gun to move around the environment to, you know, get across the map as GLaDOS is like, no, she's trying to stop you at every, you're doing test chamber shit. And it incorporates some of the stuff from Portal 2 where, the goo, like the orange goo, which makes you run fast, the blue goo, which makes you jump, the gel. so there's puzzles that involve that. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. And then I played a bunch of Super Nintendo Classic. Finished Mario World, Yoshi's Island, which is, I think, better than Mario World. It has a better art style. I think it has better music. It has better platforming.
I think weird.
It's a better game.
It's weird because, like, I've always been standoffish towards that series because it does control differently. Like, it's slower.
Yeah.
And it's different. Like, it's just different controls. Like, these weird floaty controls.
Yeah, because Yoshi controls differently. Like,
yeah, and like the level design is actually more compact and it's slower, but it's also way more intricate. Like,
yeah, and the boss battles are great. Like,
that's the main thing. That's why I'm like, I still think it's better because the boss fights are like, dude, there's like a Super Mario Galaxy boss fight where you're running around a globe, like, and they're doing the Mode 7 graphics where the world rotates. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in that game. I would say give it a shot if you haven't. I played through Super Mario Kart and F-Zero. F-Zero is a really fun game. There's really nothing to it, but it's good a straight-up racing game. But yeah, it's good music, solid racing. Like, it's a lot of fun. And I played Donkey Kong Country. It's the first time I ever beat Donkey Kong Country. I played it multiple times, but that's not a good platformer.
It's like, you don't like it?
It's okay. Like, I don't know, maybe coming off of Super Mario World and Yoshi's Island, like, it's very simplistic. Like,
all right, but think of, like,
Simplistic, and it wants very specific things from you, like almost pixel perfect jumping in certain spots. Like, I don't know. I did not love it. It's fine though.
I think the first one is the least, like, egregious out of the three. I think, like, it's the most basic platformer. And also, like, I don't, at that time, like, those graphics were, like, something else. Yeah. Like, they were, like, the game was, like, a big deal when it came out. And
it still looks really good.
It looks pretty cool. Like, some of it looks bad, but, like, if you put it in the context of that time, like, if you remember what was normal for that time, like, going from Super Mario World to that was like, whoa, holy shit.
Yeah, it has a very different art style.
It looks almost 3D.
Yeah, it's trying to do different things. It's pretty cool. I just think, maybe coming off of those other two platformers was...
They're better.
Yeah. But whatever. So, yeah, I've put a bunch of time into that Super Nintendo Classic. I'm getting my money's worth out of that.
That's awesome.
I'm going to play Super Mario RPG next, I think. So that one might be a rough one.
First time?
I have tried it before, but I never finished it. So
same.
All right. That was a lot. We covered a lot of ground tonight.
It's been a very long, like, very busy 2 weeks. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Tony and I will have Battlefront 2. Next week, if we record, next week's a weird week.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
It's Thanksgiving.
I could do a Wednesday show if we needed to.
Yeah.
I can't.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go see Coco.
Oh, you're right, you are.
Probably,
If we do record next week, it'll be on Wednesday, but we'll see. Maybe we will take the week off. And
yeah, maybe if it's not too busy, like, news-wise, like, if, you know, all of a sudden Battlefront doesn't shut down or something like that, you know.
But when we come back, we will have Battlefront 2, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon come out.
I need to buy myself a copy of that.
I don't know if Tony's getting that or not. I bought Skyrim on the Switch.
What the fuck?
Nice! That's fine. Whatever. Skyrim.
I will say this, I mean, I have Skyrim on everything at this point, but I don't play that game in handheld mode often, but that is a game I think that I could just, like, pop in and play, like, if I'm out somewhere. I didn't do that with Zelda, but I think Zelda is very particular with its combat, and Skyrim's combat is so simplistic that...
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it just seems like an easier game to just kind of, like, go explore and do shit. So, But I'll tell you how it looks in handheld mode. And I'm going to play as Link.
The ugliest Link I've ever seen in my entire life.
So there's that. So we'll be back, maybe not next week, but we'll be back in soon. And we are getting very near to Game of the Year stuff. So
yeah, are we going to put categories up? We got to start putting stuff in there.
Yeah, we will. All right, Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.